This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 213, sponsored by Drawboxes by CollectionDraw.com, Discount Comic Book Service, and Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/ifanboy for a free trial, and iFanboy listeners like you.
The news had come out in the First World War. The bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. Was the night before Christmas, 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. Spied the Red Baron, fiercely they fought. With ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was caught. Christmas bells, those Christmas bells, rang up from the land, asking peace of all the world and goodwill to man.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 213. My name is Ron Richards, and as always, I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Connor. And also, Josh Flanagan's back with us.
Hello.
Hello, Josh. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, like, yeah.
An evil Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
right. I had a busy Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm so tired. Let me sleep.
All right. Well, no sleep, because you are from the website ifanboy.com, along with Connor and I, as well as a whole bunch of other ifanboy folks. And I don't know what I meant by that. But at ifanboy.com, we read comics. And every week we read a bunch of comics that came out on Wednesday. And then one of us picks the best one and writes about it on the website in the pick of the week review. And then we come here to the podcast to talk about it, as well as all the other books that came out this week and anything else that is of interest. We also have a burgeoning membership base over at iFanboy, you iFanboy members, which make you eligible for winning contests and giveaways. This month of December is packed with them. We have winners coming up later in the show, as well as news about future giveaways. So you want to stay tuned to the end of the show to hear about that. Before we get to Josh's pick of the week this week, I want to warn you that we're going to talk about what happened in the comics, in the stories. You might consider that spoiling it if you haven't read the books yet. If you've read the books yet, you could consider it enjoying the books. But if you haven't read them, press pause, come back here, then listen to the rest of it. You won't have the story spoiled for you, even though apparently Marvel doesn't care about that. like I said,
hey-o.
like I said, Josh has the pick this week. So Josh, tell us all about the Mighty Number 11.
The Mighty Number 11. If you have been listening to this show, you will know that me and Connor have been very up on the Mighty the whole time. And if you haven't been listening, then this is the first you've heard of it. But it's true. Go back and check. and every time it comes out, I think it'd be nice if the Mighty was pick of the week this week. I'll admit I have some bias in that area. There it is. but every time I've sort of resigned myself that. While it's really good every time, the thing that's actually really good about it is that it kind of doesn't stand out.
It's a slow burn book.
It is, which is why this week it really excited me, because I found myself flipping through it really fast, but not in a bad way, but it was a big fight, basically. And
this was the catharsis issue.
Yeah, it was
where
exactly.
After 11 to 10 months, we finally had the point where the fight happens. And so, of course, it's exciting.
And I'm not a fight guy. I'm not a guy who wants to read.
You're a lover.
I am.
You're not a fighter.
I love lamp.
Peace, love, dope.
I love
peace,
lots
love,
of
dope.
you're like my old unhip uncle. Peace, love, and dope. Right? That's what you kids like. I don't have an uncle. Anyway. But for me, I I'm not a big fight fan. I don't read the Hulk. No, but that's why people read the Hulk.
Right, yeah, I know. Yes,
nothing
yes.
else
yeah,
going
and
on.
And I remember you complaining that this issue was just a fight and you want more, even though Invincible is close to being a fight book.
That wasn't a fight. I didn't complain about
no,
that.
No, you didn't complain. I'm just saying that Invincible is close to being a fight book.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. But there's emotion and stuff behind it. Because the thing is, like Connor's saying, it was cathartic. They've been building up to this for a really long time. So it mattered in the story. And I just found myself flipping through it excited. Like a fight was exciting. In a way that a fight in a comic book hasn't been exciting for me in a really long time. If you go back and you think about the ending of Secret Invasion or Civil War, there was supposed to be those big fights, and they didn't have any of the impact that the fight in this issue did.
Yeah.
In that way, it just wasn't. This one followed from page to page. There was a clear story to this fight that was going on, and if you'll forgive me if I'm being a little bit vague, but. A lot of people haven't read this, and I don't really want to give it away that much.
Even though we spoiler warning the show, most of the people on iFanboy are going to be picking this up in trades.
Including me. And the thing
is, I want to tell you that this is the issue where the Mighty dies.
Oh, hey.
There isn't even a character named the Mighty.
No, there's not.
Well, it's funny because I haven't read a single issue of this, and I've heard you guys raving about it. And I am a recent convert to the Church of Chris Omni. And so I want to read this desperately, but I'm going to pick it up and trade because I'm so late to the game. But when I saw you made it the pick of the week, even what was my first reaction? I was like, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good fight. The fight had purpose and it had meaning. And one of the things that was really neat about it was I think that Somni really excelled in the storytelling for this one, because as you went through it, at the moments where the action was really big, the panels got big and there were all these – full page panels and two page spreads, but that served the story exactly.
It was all pacing.
Yeah, it was wonderful, wonderful pacing. And even in some parts, there was a two page spread and even the lettering was gigantic. It was just, and it felt like sort of a good classic comic book, a good, great pacing. The last page was, it basically did this really neat thing where it showed these two characters as equals where they had not been before. And it did that graphically. You put that together with another amazing cover by Dave Johnson, who's come up with this aesthetic for all of the covers for this. And It's just so good. It tells you some story on the cover. It has on every one. You could almost consider it a spoiler, but it's just subtle enough. It's just vague enough that it's not ruining anything. It's just highlighting. It's exactly the kind of thing that, Ron, you ask for all the time.
Yep.
It's a cover that has something to do with what's going on inside it. And, you know, just a great, fun issue. And I was really, you know, in a week of some very, very strong comic books, it was the one that at the end of a reading, I was like, oh, that was awesome. And I read it again right there. And you guys know I never do that.
You never do that.
I never, ever, never do that.
Yeah.
If you want to hear a tiny criticism, just because I got to be fair, there is a character who is not powered becomes powered. And it's not entirely clear when that happens. I had to go back and find it, and then I did, but I think the storytelling was actually a little bit off in that part.
Whose fault is that?
Depends on how the script is written. If not, then it's the artist's fault, but it looks to me like it was a script thing that didn't translate quite as well as they'd wanted.
Surprisingly, it's the colorist's fault.
Yeah. Shockingly, yeah.
Let me just...
John Calise?
you're on notice.
Calling you
you're
out.
On the list.
But on that same token, to talk about the art in this book, like I mentioned, the pacing and the storytelling with the sort of sizes of the panels, you know, the whole thing is done in this dark, shadowy thing where in the beginning, like the whole issue... It's like it looks that lighting like a flashlight is under you, which is the is, you know, something's gonna happen. It's gonna be bad, and then like the color bumps up, and there's just it like sort of looks like it takes place in this fiery pit, and the whole thing's sort of orange and red, which just adds to that excitement of, you know, that sort of there's flames all around them and it's big and scary, and I didn't know what was gonna happen, you know, with this for a long time. You know, Connor and I have been saying that, you know, there's a character who. It seems like he's really good, and then for most of it, you're like, wait, something's off. And that's apparent right from the beginning. It's not like it's going to ruin anything for anybody. But I didn't know what was going to happen or how it was going to shake out. And this answered some of those questions. Is the penultimate issue. The next one is the last one of this and possibly the last one ever.
No, I think it will be. I think it's designed that way. It's a 12-issue long story. It's like Irredeemable. It doesn't really – you know, there's a distinct arc to the story. It's not like your typical superhero.
And I love that. And that's
going to go on forever and ever and ever. It's going to be this 12-issue story, done and done.
And it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be a big trade paperback or a hardcover that I'm going to be very excited to recommend to people. And I say, well, what's a really good superhero story that I probably don't know about? It'd be like, bam, right here. You know, and it's not reinventing the wheel. It really isn't. It's more that it's a really classic.
It's telling a really good story.
Yep.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel to be a good comic book.
No, you definitely don't. And, you know, you don't have to reinvent the superhero to do it. But you do have to do it really well to make you stand out unless you are doing that. If you're not Grant Morrison, like, you know, your craft has to be there. And it's all there in this book. And it's just a solid, really entertaining story. A big surprise of this year for me. Huge surprise.
I'm glad you came on. Because you came on after the second issue. Did you went back and got the first two,
I think? The first four.
Yeah, I was glad because I didn't want to be the only guy reading this and talking into a vacuum about how good it was. But I'm glad people are coming onto it, and it's going to be a book where, you know, I'm looking forward to. I'm going to get the trade when it comes out. Yeah. You know, I'm going to be recommending it as much as I can.
And you look,
unless the last issue tanks it, which, you know, it won't.
It's kind of impossible at this point.
Bobby steps out of the shower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Would be awesome. Then I would tout it.
Then the last six pages are just black.
Bob Newhart picks up the phone.
It's just a combination of all of those, you know.
The kid shakes the snow globe.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone goes to jail, and every character from the issue shows up and protest or testifies against them.
Awesome. And the costume, the button is too close to it on the costume. So.
Now, I really liked The Mighty a lot. I gave it 5 stars. I really enjoyed it. But for me, Jonah Hex 50 was a tour de force.
I think
it's up there, one of the best single issues of the year.
It was amazing because I don't read Jonah Hex, and I bought it because of Darwin, you know, because I'm a big fan of Darwin Cook, and I was just amazed at how great the story was.
Yep.
Like Jimmy and Justin, like, because I went back and read, you guys maybe read Jonah Hex when it first came out, and it was all right. There are westerns. There's been marked, like, those stories have gotten, if those are how every issues are, I need to be reading this book.
Well, we've had 50 issues of character development, and the thing is, like, Josh and I always talk and joke about how Jonah Hex is fucked up and something fucked up always happens in the book. But this was all about emotional fuck up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the end of this issue, you're just devastated.
This is
Jonah Hex is devastated. You don't ever get to see Jonah Hex devastated. Yeah. And it was just, I was like, I finished it and I was like, ugh.
Well, I gave this 5 stars too. This was
certainly I'm not denigrating your pick.
You know, the thing is, we have spent 50 issues, which is over 4 years. Exactly. By the way, they put this book out like friggin' clockwork.
Yep.
That's
an accomplishment. It's totally an accomplishment.
Oh my God. But the thing is, we have spent over 4 years seeing Jonah Hex at every single time when the story comes to an emotional crux and he has a chance to do the right thing because it's the right thing, he says fuck all that and walks away and gets drunk.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that his facade cracked. Yeah. Just a little bit. And so, you know, if you can imagine, Ron, you haven't been reading it all along, but me and Connor, you know, it really hits you in that way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the art for a moment.
Jeez.
Lovely. It was lovely art.
My favorite. There was one page I got to in this, and I thought, and I don't do this very much because we read so many comics, but I got to one page, and I thought, I want to own that page.
Yeah.
And it's the one where she is building the house.
Oh, that was a great page. That was a great page. Yeah.
It's a really good example. When we talk about Darwin Cook, it's not his rendering, and we talk about him being a really good cartoonist and a really, really good storyteller. You know, that's as simple as the drawings will ever get in a professional comic book.
Yeah, look at the people in the background. They're very simple.
It isn't so much what he's drawing. It's the way he does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and it's such a subtlety, and it's a, you know, and like, there were so many moments that grabbed me, like when he revealed that she was pregnant, when, mm-hmm. you know, like it was just the color palette and everything was just, it was just amazing. It was really, mm-hmm. really good. And I honestly did love the interludes in the story, the way there were little chapters and how you moved along, you know, throughout the 9 months of, or whatever period that this time period was. Mm-hmm. And there was little bits of humor too. Like there's, you know, and part of the story is that Jonah Hex takes on a bounty of like to kill these 50 guys or whatever. And so there's a whole sequence of, you know, no, little to no dialogue of Hex just tearing through, killing these people. And like, there's one guy's in the outhouse and Hex has got a cannon pointed at the outhouse, you know, like there's little touches of comedy as well as drama. Like it was such a roller coaster. It was so great. So
yeah. I think, I mean, the quick story is that Jonah Hex's nominal girlfriend,
Tallulah Black,
who isn't really his girlfriend, but is, he saved her many, many, many issues ago. She's all cut up. Nobody, you know, no man will have her but Jonah Hex, and she's become a bounty hunter in her own right. In the beginning, they have sex after a successful bounty. She disappears to go have his baby. And in the meanwhile, Jonah Hex has been given a job to catch 50 bad guys. It's the 50th issue. And those two stories come together in a very Seinfeldian way. And then it just gets really dark because it involves a lot of death and his baby and some very, very bad things happen. And there's a really great full-page shot of Jonah Hex lighting his cigar with a Gatling gun in the background. Yeah. And then the end, the last two pages, the last page itself is just a devastating page.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculously how, because we, in one issue a long time ago, we had a flash forward, mm-hmm. didn't we?
About, yes. Him,
and he had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, here's the kid.
Not so much. Sad.
You know, you got to give that to all the whole team in terms of execution. You know, Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, Darwin Cook, Dave Stewart.
Oh, jeez.
It's the 50th issue, and you know,
and it's the best one. It's the
well,
best
how often
one.
Do they try to make an issue? This one's a special. This will be a big deal, and like it hit on every single note that it was supposed to, even structurally by being the 50th issue, and he's killing 50 people, and
it was great.
I mean, it was great.
It's interesting because you know we track the pulls on iFanboy, and this issue got about 100 plus more pulls than a normal issue because of Darwin Cook's art. And what's great about it is those people could read this story and not be lost. But I encourage anyone out there who hasn't picked this issue, pick this issue up.
Yep.
First of all, it's a bang for your buck. It's $3.99. It's double sized, and it's dense. You get a lot of story here. So go if this at all sounds, if you like Darwin Cook, if you all think you might enjoy this. This is one of the best single issues of the year.
Yeah.
And he's right.
You don't need to have read anything.
It is a story all on its own.
Yeah.
It is a tale, a parable, a fable.
I think our writer Paul said it was the best short graphic novel he read this year.
It's
a complete three-act story in and of itself. You don't need to know anything going into it. And you definitely get your money's worth out of this. I really love this issue a lot.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was sold out in my store on Wednesday. Like it will be hotly, you know, grabbed because of Darwin.
How high
like
is
that.
It on the Wizard Hot
Don't get me started on that. So anyway, so moving on from the Jonah Hex, I made the joke earlier at the top of the show how Marvel doesn't care about spoilers. Apparently, neither does DC either. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But so the next big status quo event kind of starts this week at Marvel with Siege beginning and Siege Cabal, the one shot. And if you remember, about a year ago now, was it Secret Invasion Cabal or was it Dark Reign Cabal? It was one of those. It was an issue that focused on Norman Osborn and Doctor Doom and Namor and the Hood and Loki and all that sort of stuff. This kind of revisits that a year later after this year of the Dark Reign.
I had this thought recently because the big thing at the end of Secret Invasion was revealing the Cabal.
Yep.
That was the last time we saw them.
Yes. Well, no. They've gotten together a couple of times before. Since right, then. Yeah.
But still, they didn't. It didn't matter.
Right.
It had nothing to do with the story. The story was everyone against Norman Osborn. It wasn't everybody against this team of bad guys.
Right. The whole Cabal, the idea of the Dark Illuminati. I loved when I found out about it. I thought that was genius. And the fact that, if you ask me, it's a great concept that was completely squandered. It was completely squandered in this past year.
Totally.
And so, but a couple of questions with this book. Now, I know I don't read Thor. So I'm going to plead ignorance here on some of this stuff, but wasn't Loki a chick?
He's back to being a man.
Okay. That changed.
And
yeah, that changed a while ago.
Asgard's in the Midwest?
Yes.
Well, okay.
That's been there.
Yeah, that happened in the Thor story.
I don't read Thor. Yeah, it was all new to me.
Well, that happened in Thor number one, and they're on Thor 604 now. So it's been about 60 years.
I thought it was really – so in the story, so basically what's happening is that the Goblin Mask has been talking to Norman and tells him that they need to get rid of any sort of influence into the United States, and now the target should be on the Asgardians. And so he brings the Cabal together and without Namor, without Emma, because they defected and went against Norman. And so Norman decides to bring in the Taskmaster, who I think is great.
It kind of downgrades your Cabal.
Totally, totally.
I like the Taskmaster. He's cool. I've always liked him, but he's not Doctor Doom. He's not Norman Osborn.
He's not Omega level threat. Let's just say that. But that said, the art was great.
I loved the art.
Okay. Now, you guys know that Michael Lark is one of my favorite artists. He's easily in my top five, five, if not more.
Yeah.
I don't think they used him all that well.
Yeah.
Like, flipping through it and looking through it, there's just a shit ton of headshots and medium shots in the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's not very – if you think about what his pages look like with Captain America jumping around or with Daredevil or something like that, it was kind of boring.
I thought the action scene was great.
I enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot, yeah.
It was better than the cover, or the Finch cover.
No, absolutely. I love him. He's one of my favorite artists. I don't think – I just think it felt – I don't know. It didn't blow me away. But at the same time, it's hard for me to judge this issue on the merits of its story because I really like him as an artist, so I'm almost biased ahead of time. But I don't know. It was like, okay. It's more Norman Osborn struggling with what he is and who he wants to be.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it. I'm really literally thinking of just not reading the Siege.
Right. Well, we get to help you with that decision, we get the little Siege issue one preview where it looks like they're hearkening back to Civil War with a event that triggers everything, which I thought was a little. I love seeing Heimdall.
Well, Loki tells him what to do in this issue, that he needs an accelerating event like Civil War had to really get the public on his side and the president on his side to invade Asgard, which is what the Siege is, I guess. They're going to be the Siege of Asgard, which actually conceptually, as with all of these stories, conceptually is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't.
I'll probably read the main mini.
Yeah.
And whatever books I normally buy anyway, and then go from
there. Yeah, New Avengers. I mean, it's an event. The thing is, it's an Avengers event. I mean, that's what I laugh is, they're going for these.
What isn't?
But they're going for these, no longer, total Marvel Universe encompassing events and more, focused events. But you look at the checklist on the back page, and there are a lot of books there.
And it's through May.
I don't know. No end in sight. But
four more years.
Part of that also leading up though to it was the Dark Avengers annual.
Yeah.
Right, with Chris Bocciolo on art with a Marvel Boy story.
I had a couple of points about this one. Yep. I wasn't gonna buy this. I didn't pull it originally, but then I heard there was a big thing at the end of the last page, which we'll get to in a moment. But so I ended up getting it because of what I heard. And it's funny how two years ago I hated Bocciolo's art.
Yep.
Now I'm a huge fan.
Oh, it was great. I thought it was great.
I totally turned around on him.
I got lost a few times.
I loved this look of this book. Yeah. The other thing was when I found that it was about Marvel Boy.
Yep.
I don't know Marvel Boy. Never really read a comic with him except when he's like a background character.
Yep.
And at first I was like, oh, I'm not going to like this. But I really was engaged by the story and really was into it. I thought this was a really good issue.
Again, I think Marvel Boy is another example of opportunity squandered, and they haven't really done anything with him being on the Dark Avengers. And it was nice to see a little focus on him, and he gets a costume change in this, and seems to be
it's a pretty bad costume.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I guess the plan. Oh, I don't know. 6-8 months ago was by the time of this issue coming out, Captain America Reborn would be over. And who would wield the shield would be over, and then we would get to the last page of this book. I can only assume.
You know what? I missed it because I knew something was coming, but I was sort of flipping through it fast when I read it. And I don't think I saw what it was.
Oh, you didn't see what it was?
No. I don't think I did.
Well, it was Steve and Bucky Cap spying on Marvel Boy.
And Bucky Cap is in the Captain America outfit, and Steve is in a black kind of, you know, like nondescript,
almost like a shield outfit.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I thought that was Clint because I just went by so fast.
Well, the word balloon where he said Steve.
No, I know. But that was it. I was at the end, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah. No. But so basically, it revealed Steve Rogers being back and not Captain America.
It's funny how everyone gets all partisan about DC and Marvel, but at the core they're really the same.
No, they're the exact same thing.
And in this case they're the same because they both have these big characters coming back to their worlds, and they're both of those miniseries are super delayed, and both of them are holding up the other book. So both companies said, "Fuck it, we're just moving on." Yep. So we've already got Barry back in some other books, so everyone's complaining. They already know that Barry's not going to die, and then it's the same thing here. We all knew Steve was coming back. The book's called Captain America Reborn, and so here he is.
But what's even funnier is that on Blackest Night Flash number one came out this week, and so we all know Barry's going to come back. We know that's going to But Blackest Night Flash was able to spoil the end of Flash Rebirth in a way that I didn't even know they could by revealing the end of it that Barry's going to kill Zoom again.
Did they?
Yes.
See, I was confused a little bit, so I couldn't say that it was, because there's so much weird time travel.
It's time travel. They're talking about how he's the body that's resurrected is the old Zoom from before
the one
he resurrected
that he had
originally.
Already killed.
Right.
Yeah. So
he'd already done it.
He'd already killed him once. This was the time he killed him, the body from when he killed him. Time travel will fuck you up.
It does fuck me up. It does fuck me up.
If there was a spoiler in that, I'm not sure what it was.
Yeah. I'm not.
My guess is that the end of Flash Rebirth is that the first four pages recap Flash Rebirth. I thought.
I think it's entirely no. Well, no. Yeah. When he strangled him, that was from the old Flash.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's entirely possible that is what's going to happen. But I'm not convinced because it's time travel and it could. I thought. The Flash that came back, the reverse Flash that came back in this issue was the body from the first time he killed him.
Right. Oh, it gets very confusing.
So I guess we're going to move on to Blackest Night Flash number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe it.
Whoa. It's not you, Marty. It's your kids.
It wasn't the kids, though. It was Marty.
It was Marty.
I love Len Snart.
Yeah.
He's kind of awesome.
Jeff Johns writing the Rogues is awesome. Him writing Captain Cold is the best. And I don't want a Captain Cold series. I don't want him to be like Venom. I just want him in the six pages he gets in an issue of The Flash.
I think that's a very good thing to ask for.
Yeah. So good.
This was a fun issue. It was fine. I got through about the middle of it, and I thought to myself, Tom Cater's got to be loving this.
Oh yeah, we got Grodd, you got the Rogues,
Rilla City,
Samovar, what is his name?
Solovar,
yeah, Samovar is a place.
Sam Scudder,
the Dead Rogues. Oh great.
Well, in conjunction with this was Blackest Night Wonder Woman, and I thought they both were solid.
I have thoughts about Blackest Night Wonder Woman.
Okay, well, just in general, I thought together they were both a solid first issue.
Yeah, they were. Well, and knowing that Blackest Night Flash is Johns and Collins, and now here's my point about Blackest Night Wonder Woman was Rucka and Nicola Scott. Now, ever since Nicola Scott came on the scene, what was the one thing you've heard people say about Nicola Scott?
Draw Wonder Woman,
right. And we talked to her about it. People have talked to her about it, and this whole thing with Gail and all this sort of stuff. And so we finally get her drawing Wonder Woman. And how does DC fuck it up?
I don't know.
By putting five inkers on her. I swear to God, I couldn't believe it. Every page to me looked different, looked slightly different. They did her such her art such a disservice. It looked okay, but it could be comparing this. I compared it to the Secret Six trade paperback I have. She is so much better than this issue. And
I see it now, but I was in the story before.
Right. That makes me think that they decided to do this book like a month ago. Just like they're like, listen, nothing's gonna ship over New Year's.
I remember that, you know, if you're on Twitter and you follow Greg Rucka, he tweeted out about sending a Black and White Wonder Woman script to Jeff, because I guess Jeff's overseeing all the scripts, and that was only a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
And there shouldn't be still issues being written if there's only a 3-issue mini.
Right. And so the thing is, it's a nitpick and it's subtle, and maybe it takes somebody like us who looks at so much comic stuff like that. But as soon as I opened the book up and I saw a string of names next to inks, I went, oh, that's not good. And I'm flipping through it, and to their credit, and I think mainly to the colorist's credit, the book has a common look to it.
It does have
a unified look, but as you look deeper at each panel, Wonder Woman looks different from page to page. And I think it
looked best at the end. I guess that's his work. But yeah.
I didn't notice it. I mean, now that you're saying it, I can see it.
Well,
but
open to the last page where across from the Doctor Who ad, which, by the way, I'm sick of. I don't care if you're a Doctor Who fan. I'm sorry. I'm tired of that.
I'll tell you what's wrong with that is it doesn't tell you what part those shows are on.
Yeah, anyway.
Is it the beginning or is it – and I don't know. I want to know. Anyway.
Anyway, so look at
graphic design on the logo. Anyway.
Look at Wonder Woman across from the Doctor. All right? Uh-huh. All right. Now turn back to Wonder Woman on the first page.
She has a different nose.
Yeah. I mean, a little thing. And like I said, I'm nitpicking.
She's got her big Greek nose, and she looks like a Greek.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a stronger work towards the end.
Yeah.
Better inking. That's
yeah.
I'm assuming it's in order, so that's Drew Garassi. He should stay on inking her.
The reason that I didn't notice it, though, was because in this very short little story, Greg Rucka completely took in my attention because I, about halfway through this, thought, oh, he's not going to do that, is he?
Yeah.
And then he did because they resurrected a shit ton of dead soldiers from Arlington National Cemetery. And I thought,
it was genius.
It's really hard to do that and not come off as incredibly disrespectful because I thought, but at the same time, I don't know Greg Rucka. I know him enough that he's not going to be disrespectful.
Right.
And he wasn't. You know, but my first thought was, oh, I don't know if even he'll be able to get away with that. And he did.
Right.
In a very cool way. I really liked – my favorite moment of this was she told the two guards, you know, run away now. And they said, we can't. It's our post.
Yeah.
And I think this was a great story.
I don't read Wonder Woman, and I love this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was great. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so it was a 5-star issue.
It was a 4-star issue because they fucked up the art. I feel bad because I really like Nicola Scott and I really want to see her do well, and I don't want to see them do a disservice like this to her. So anyway, but I did enjoy it and I was surprised. All right, I want to take a quick break and thank Audible, our sponsor for this episode. You've heard us talk about Audible.com in the past. It is the place for audiobooks. They've also got podcasts, speeches, basically anything audio, Audible's got it there. You can download it to your iPod or any other music playback device to listen to it. There's a great sync feature with your iTunes where you download it from the Audible website and goes right into your iTunes. I did that recently with some books. They've got over 60,000 titles across all genres. They've been building up their science fiction genre and their fantasy section. So for those of you who are also into that sort of stuff, is, you know, you like comics, you probably like science fiction, it's fantasy. Just go listen to an audiobook.
I disagree. No.
All right. So you want to head over to audiblepodcast.com/ifanboy, and there you can sign up and they'll get you a free audiobook and a 14-day trial. You got no excuse not to sign up for it. You get a free book. Come on. It's very important that you go to audiblepodcast.com/ifanboy. That exact URL. We'll have the link in our show notes. And this week, Josh has got the Audible pick. And what'd you pick first, Josh?
I picked The Road. The unabridged version by Cormac McCarthy. It's you probably will have noticed a lot of marketing for a particular film starring Viggo, and apparently the movie is getting very, very good reviews.
I saw the movie and I read the book,
and prior to that, like, I've heard a lot of really good things about the book. So if you want to know if the book is good before you see the movie, or you saw the movie and thought, hey, I'm curious about this book, it's a good way to go. Six hours and 39 minutes for that one.
That's a good pick for the holidays. You want to have an uplifting experience.
It's
you want
winter.
To feel better about the end of the year. You don't want to be depressed.
It's winter.
Definitely read The Road. So, an awesome book that will make you depressed.
So go to audiblepodcast.com/ifanboy. Go to audiblepodcast.com/ifanboy. We thank them for their support. So
kind of like scalped.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of scalped.
That's something you want to give your grandmother when she's in a bad mood. Scalp number 33, part 4 of 5 of The Gnawing Story. Remember, part 1 was Pick of the Week a little ways back. Some
don't
shit
remember
goes,
that kerfluffle at all.
Yeah, whatsoever. Another book came out that week.
Other book.
That wasn't.
92.3% of the people liked it the best.
Whatever, dude. That was an awesome fucking issue.
It was.
This was a really good issue, but I thought, you know, it didn't so much stand on its own. But at the same time, a lot of really important things happened. And
a lot of shocking things happened. This is the kind of, you know, books like Scalped or Why the Last Man or Ex Machina or Walking Dead, things, books, you know, that aren't going to go on forever, controlled by one person. They often get to a point where I'm at this book with this issue where I thought, wow, I don't know how they're going to come back from this.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, there's an end in sight, at least for the story, for the epoch as we currently know it. There has to be, because you can't.
I mean, we know from interviewing Jason Aaron that, you know, issue 33 is by no means close to the end. I think he wants to go 50 or 60 issues, but like by the time I finish this issue, when some main characters make some bad choices or do some bad things, and some people die, I thought, wow, I don't know
how
this goes for another 20 issues or 30 issues or what.
Yeah, but,
great issue. I gave it 5 stars. It was another. I mean, this is a great little. You know, arc. This arc is
the best in a long time, which is saying something.
Yes.
Yeah.
When the person that gets shot at the end gets shot, I was like, oh. and then the person who revealed that was revealed.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. The Powered Special. Ron, when I read this, I thought, why am I not just reading the beginning of the next trade?
Well, my thought was is that I don't know what.
I'm assuming it's marketing to get more people to check out the book and not be committed to buying a full, you know, trade. Because this Empowered is a series that comes out in trade form, but I love Empowered, but I thought this is great. Why isn't it just the first chapter of the
I got book? Really mad because I'm like, oh, so this is what Empowered would be like in issue format. I want this. To do Empowered in a smaller format, in an issue format with a contained story like this, I had so much fun. It reminded me how much fun Empowered is. And like,
yeah, but he doesn't write that way because, from the book. Yeah. So he writes a 5-page chapter, he writes a 25-page chapter, a 2-page chapter. So it's all different. So he couldn't really do it, you know, monthly. But I just figured he should be working on the next one.
Yeah. Can I read this?
Yeah.
On its own. So say that you've heard about this Empowered. You don't want to go out and spend however much it is on the little trades.
Exactly.
This issue's what, $4 or $5?
$3.99,
and you can read it. It's a good introduction for people who'd want it.
Great recap on the inside cover where it goes over all the characters and a fully self-contained story that gives each character their little moment. And there's stuff, and the thing is, it's hard for me to separate after reading 5 volumes of it, of all the characters.
Sure.
You know, but I really believe you could hand this to you and you would understand it and get the gist. And this is a tease for the next, I can only assume volume 6 is coming out soon. So
another thing I didn't think it did well was it didn't really explain her powers.
Yeah.
I don't think that was ever really touched upon.
Yeah.
That her super suit powers are indestructible. Yeah.
This was a head scratcher. I'll be honest with you. It was a head scratcher. But but it was still good. It was still enjoyable.
Well, Dark Horse is putting out all these one shots, so I figure they're trying to market them. But at the same time, I just was thinking, why doesn't he just do the next book?
Yeah, all right. Next on the list, though, is Echo 17, and I'm putting a spoiler embargo on you.
Oh fuck! Because this might
the East Coast didn't get it.
Last
4 months we can't get it the week it comes out.
Oh man, this
when
one
it comes out. It comes out only West Coast for 1 week, and the next week the East Coast gets it.
Okay, I won't spoil about it, but it was awesome. And when you read it, you need to sit down and you need to not have any distractions. You can't flip through it like you did with Dark Avengers Annual, because it is so dense. Like all the questions you've had about what the suit is and all stuff like that, it's all getting answered in this issue. And not only is it getting answered in this issue, it's getting answered in this issue that will blow your mind so much I had to stop reading comics and go for a walk.
Dude, Terry's killing it.
He had no right
to do a book this good, and I didn't in my wildest dreams expect this book to be this good.
Yep. No, and this takes it to another level, and then there's one page in the backup in the back of it that adds to the level that it gone to that blew my fucking mind. Like, I have so much respect for Terry Moore right now. I don't know where this came from. Like, this is it's amazing.
And he's putting them out.
Yeah. But this is a shorter series, right? It's not going super long.
No, I don't know. I don't care.
I think it's going 20-something, 30 issues.
This is amazing. It's amazing, and it's one of those things where it's like, oh my god! Like I turn each page, and I was like, and like there are literally pages of text. Like he drew it. It's not like there's prose, but it is very dense and very wordy. But it all works together and it explains everything and in a way that makes sense. And you're like, oh my god, it's amazing. So very, if you're into quantum physics, you're gonna love this. So.
Oh, so many. Yeah. So many of the fan exactly. base love quantum physics. Sweet Tooth number 4.
So when we were talking about Sweet Tooth, we were saying how we DC talked to us and we talked to folks at DC Inside and they said, "Oh, you know, it's first issue's good, second issue's good, but wait till you get to," and we thought it was the third issue. I think they were talking about the fourth issue.
I think it's possible.
Because this possibly is the best issue of the series so far. I think this showed not only an improvement in storytelling in the format and stuff like that, but I think this is Lemire's best art of the run, of this story so far. I think
he had mentioned at some point that at first he was drawing it the exact same way as if it were not going to be colored.
Yep.
And then after a little bit, he figured out how to do it a little better for the color, and I think that you're seeing that here. Yeah,
and I think I totally agree with that. I think he figured out the format, he figured out the coloring. There's some great layouts, some great like the gun, the shot with when the butt of the gun, that those panels like that it was great.
The page with the raindrops,
yeah, yeah,
which is very similar to that Jonah Hex page I like. So you can
And then you'll like Echo because there's a lot of rain in Echo.
Yeah,
But this was
shut up about Echo already. You got it.
There's rain.
Good
I quit.
For you.
Good for you. I haven't done that in forever. Oh, I love that. I loved Angry Christian. Oh.
Anyway,
that was the hit of the summer.
So So Sweet Tooth number 4 was fantastic. So
I meant to actually drop this book for trade and on autopilot I got it. So
really did you like it though? Was the yeah. Do you agree or?
I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Ultimate Spider-Man number 5. Great cover.
He's in the game. Yeah. There is a hostel being run at Aunt May's house,
and it's awesome.
I was reading
like
it.
Real world Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. I was reading it. Basically, so Bobby Drake of the X-Men is homeless and needs help. He goes to Kitty. Kitty's mom freaks out and kicks them both out, and so Aunt May takes them in. And I was just like, I saw it coming 10 miles away, and I was just like, no, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And he
so
did.
Living in one house is Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy, who he's secretly dating, Kitty Pryde, his ex-girlfriend, Iceman, and the Human Torch, and Aunt May.
And you realize that my other thoughts about this is that this lays the groundwork for Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
I thought that too. What I like a lot about this is that this is Bendis doing what Bendis does really well. Which I don't think he's doing in the other stuff so much. No, like seriously, we were talking about, you know, Siege and Cabal and all this stuff, and that's him like trying to juggle all these balls. But as we've seen, he seems to be focusing too much on one thing and then dropping the ball on the others. So the Cabal, the Marvel Boy, you know. But when he's in this, it's just this singular story that he can tell with these people. And it's great.
Yeah,
I feel like he's been rejuvenated with David LaFuente.
Well, I was gonna say it's great to talk about Bendis, but if the story for me for this book has been David LaFuente, and if you look at it, like I love the way he drew the Hulk. I thought the Hulk looked great. And if you look at the fight scene between him and Mysterio, there's this.
Oh, and he's all blurry in the speed lines.
Yeah, it's great. And like I've heard, and I meant to ask David when I saw him in London, and I forgot. But I've heard that he doesn't draw pages; he draws panels, then scans them in and puts together the page and delivers that. And I really, this is the first issue where I kind of saw that because it looked like, because some of the two page spreads didn't look like the way someone was approaching. Like he's not approaching it the way standard artists do, which I think is awesome. And then on the story side of thing, I think it's hysterical that I get Kitty Pryde in a Spider-Man book. I think it's hysterical. but no, if you ask me, LaFuente is the star. You're right. Bendis is doing great. He does what he does with this. But the story of LaFuente and this title is one worth telling.
He's definitely the big draw, but I think Bendis is snappier in this book than he's been in a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, just in a note of fairness, I could stand a little bit of a haircut.
Well, yes, that's been every artist in this book.
Well, I read. Where did I read? I read somebody's blog post. Somebody was saying that. Where would I read that? That Ultimate Spider-Man is a girl.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a character in an early Brian Wood book.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but other than that, I mean, that's I don't even care.
Yeah.
Sort.
All right. So before we get to the user reviews, I'm going to go off script briefly for a moment. I forgot that What If Secret Invasion came out this week, and I haven't read it yet, but I have a love and allegiance for What If, but Marvel keeps doing this. They keep doing What Ifs for storylines that just happened, and that's not what makes What If work. I want to see What If from, like, you know, What If...
What if the Siege of the Cabal hadn't featured Taskmaster?
Right, exactly. I want to see What If, you know, Onslaught wasn't Professor Xavier, or, you know, What If... You got to go back at least... There should be a 5 to 10 year rule. That's all I'm saying. I just had to vent.
What if Tony Stark had a smoking problem?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Not what if the X-Men didn't go on an island? You know, like, don't, like, this just Secret Invasion just happened. Come on. I need some distance. I need to forget about it. Anyway, so, all right, on to the user reviews.
Jose Rivera, 83, checked in with World of New Krypton, number 10 of 12. Superman World of Krypton. I keep thinking it's Wonk.
World of New Krypton.
Wonderful, wonderful acronym. Yeah. He gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. No people's pick this for pick of the week. And he says, New Krypton surprises me every month with how jam-packed it is. This month was no exception. We have a mystery that has me stumped. Adam Strange is a great guest star who adds a lot of interesting and fun dialogue with Clark. Both are men of two planets, and I can see why Rucka and Robinson put them together.
Lovely.
I don't know.
I didn't even get that connection to it, but that's correct.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I go 5 or 5, but
I give 4 or 5s for each.
Yeah, I really like Adam Strange these days. I don't know when that started happening. Probably 52.
Wednesday Comics.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't down with this because it sort of took a turn, but it was like a murder mystery, and I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
I like that they explore different sides to Clark in this book. You know, you don't get to see him often doing this kind of story. When he's in a Superman book, he's too busy punching giant robots. But
and he got to stand down and act like himself a little more when he was with Adam Strange, as opposed to how he's had to act in the Krypton military.
Yeah, somebody who knows him well, and he has to admit that he doesn't know how to do this kind of thing. He's not Bruce. He's not a Ralph. He doesn't really know how to investigate a murder. So he needs the help. And I like that they're exploring in this book different aspects of the society. This is basically the first murder since they've been a new planet. So they don't, you know. So this is
it's such a writer's pitch. The first murder in the history of New Krypton. You just switched New Krypton from Antarctica.
Right.
All right.
Well, it was weird when he lost the fingers. I didn't think he could do that.
All right. Our next review comes from the next champion who reviewed Thor number 604, gave the story a 4 out of 5 and the art a 4 out of 5. And at the time of this recording, 1.5% of the iFanboy community made it their pick of the week. And he says, this was an amazing comic featuring Dr. Doom. If there's one thing that Gillen knows who to write, apparently it's Doom. He's pretty much the main focus of the book, and anything that comes out of his mouth is pure gold. Eloquent with his words, but you can still find him absolutely terrifying. Dr. Doom fits quite well with the Asgardians, and I don't think I remember a time when he fought them. Of course, JMS started this fight, but Gillen is doing a nice job adding the tension, and the fight that starts in this will be interesting to see for the next issue. And I don't read Thor, so I have nothing to
comment. Well, in this, from what I can gather, is Asgard was landed on Earth, and then all the Asgardians moved to Latveria.
Oh.
it's like when everybody goes to Florida.
That's genius.
It's like a really... really skilled but untrustworthy travel agent outside of Asgard.
Listen, I've got the great place for you guys to go on vacation. I know you're...
Vandral, let me ask you a question. What doth that be? What would be your perfect vacation? I do not know.
I like castles. I like castles.
Well, it may Lederhosen. It may be perfect for them.
Yeah.
It may be wonderful. It may be their version of Valhalla.
Yeah. Clever. So, all right. If you go to ifanboy.com/comics, you can see all the comics that come out every week. You can do your pull list, and then on Wednesday, come back and rate and review them. And we like to feature your reviews on the show. So keep writing those reviews, and we'll get you on the show at some point. So rock on.
If you go to the comic store every week and you look at your goddamn big stack of comics and you say, Jesus, there's just too many comics. They're so expensive. What will I do? I can't afford this. Well, we got a solution for you. Go to DCBS. They got monthly specials up to 75% off. They got 40% off all the major publishers and flat rate shipping of $5.95 on all U.S. orders. And you know that's important if you're shipping paper and or books. They are heavy. You can buy anything in previews. You can get over 9,000 or 5,400 or whatever the goddamn big number is. Trade paperbacks in stock. You track your orders online. DCBService.com. That's where you can find everything. And that's how you can get your cheapo comics.
I'm going to let everybody in on a little tiny secret. The clock just passed midnight. I mean, literally, don't usually say when it's happening, but that is just what happened.
Yeah.
Why the hell did you get so good at this?
Before we get to the emails, I'm sitting here as my podcast.
Please tell me you're wearing pants.
My podcast tradition. I've got all the Green Lantern rings on my fingers again. And it bothers me that some of them have like a matte finish and some of them are shiny. Like they didn't stay consistent throughout the entire ring thing. Like the Red Lantern ring is really like a shiny finish, where the Yellow Lantern and the Orange Lantern are matte finished.
Well, now we're about to do emails, but actually we got an email today. I don't know if you saw it, Ron, about your rings.
Oh, no,
I didn't. We could answer that really quickly now. I don't know the guy because I don't have it in front of me. He emailed incredulous that you would wear your rings around all the time.
So you can totally ask the people I hang out with. I have not taken these rings off.
I can hear you clicking when you come up.
In fact, last night I was at a party. I was at a birthday party, and for reasons I don't know, in my pocket of my hoodie was my flash ring. And I pulled it out, and I turned to my friend. I'm like, "Flash ring!" And he's like, "Where'd that come from?" I'm like, "I don't know." And then I put it on. I wore it for the rest of the night.
But you don't go around like Liberace wearing all your rings all the time. Forcing young boys to get plastic surgery to look
carrying,
like you.
Carrying a candelabra, wearing a cape.
You don't do that.
No,
you don't walk around.
I don't do that. No, I don't do that. It's mainly just
consider it.
It's mainly just around my house, and mainly when I'm podcasting. So.
Yeah, so anyway. Unknown man whose email is not in front of me, that is your answer.
Okay, there you
it's
go.
It's not on all the time.
So on
to our other emails.
Incredulous. He was just surprised that Ron would wear it in socials. Yeah.
I do got to say that a lot of you spoke up and offered to send me an Indigo ring, and I want to thank everybody, and I do believe one is on its way to me. And so when I have it, I will thank the person who sent it. But
And take a photo of you playing piano with all the rings on.
I will, yes.
Will it be glossy or not?
I don't know. I think it's going to be a matte finish, I think.
Have you considered just taking a clear coat to all of them?
Possibly. On to the email. Our first email comes from Miro, who asks, are there any comics about regular people with regular lives? Like comics where the characters have regular 9-to-5 jobs and deal with regular family, school, work, relationship problems like most of us? Thanks in advance. Yes.
Josh.
Yeah.
Josh, you want to take this one, Josh?
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite books of all time.
Strangers in Paradise.
Strangers in Paradise. I wasn't going to say that, but that's also.
Crisis.
Actually, Connor, we've talked about this. And I think this might be where your DC bias is showing a little bit.
I think Miro needs to expand to the indie world, where you'll find many books.
Oh, one of my favorite books of all time, Box Office Poison. Yeah, totally.
Any indie book, you'll find the people with day jobs and lives and loves.
Let me give you a couple of names just so you have a place to start. Check out Box Office Poison by Alex Robinson. Probably the best modern example of this, I would say. The Waiting Place by Sean McKeever and Mike Norton.
And other artists.
But you know, like Norton really sort of came to prominence on this. It's very like teens in a small town, but really well done. And then another guy named Andy Watson, who's a British guy who does books about, you know, he did a book about being unemployed. He did a book about, you know, like breaking up with your girlfriend. And there's a lot of bad navel-gazing stuff that goes on out there. But all the stuff that I just named are pretty quality. If you really want a sad one that's really good, you can check out Adrian Tamine's Optic Nerve also.
Or Blankets.
Blankets.
Yep.
Tons, dude.
Death of the New Gods.
Again.
Well, and if you want a little more whimsy in your life, go to Scott Pilgrim. I mean, it's wacky and it does, you know, weird
they
stuff.
They work at a restaurant. No. They've got jobs.
They got to make rent. Yeah.
They live video games, though. Yeah. So I'm going
to
say.
Go to the comic store and look at the books with the capes and then turn left. Yeah. And there's all the black and white ones.
It's like, I'm in the bathroom.
That's the porn section. Now I'm in the magic section. Yeah. I'm slub lost.
So. Porno section's kind of real life.
Anyway, so if you have any questions, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. We like to read your emails, so please send them in.
Say, for example, you have, and who doesn't, a crap load of comic book boxes all over the place, and you're thinking, this isn't working. Well, you should check out Drawer Boxes. They are the strongest storage container made for comics. They can be stacked up to 6 high to maximize the square footage, and because they work like a drawer, every single comic in your collection remains accessible by simply pulling said drawer open. Long and short drawer boxes can be combined and linked together with box locks, box anchors, and any configuration to fit any space and remain insecure with absolutely no tipping or slippage, which is always nice. And now the contents can be organized and sorted to meet the needs of any collector with every issue immediately accessible. It's quite enticing. You can get drawer boxes and box sort upright dividers and box locks, box anchors. They are the exclusive trademarks of the Collection Drawer Company, and you can get them at collectiondrawer.com. And we want to thank collectiondrawer.com for sponsoring the show.
As I said last week, I bought some.
Yeah, how'd that?
I haven't done anything with them. I'm contemplating the best way to do something with them. We'll just put it that way.
I got an idea. Why don't you put comics in them?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't think Connor made the capital investment necessary to transfer his entire collection.
Yeah.
No.
It's just some specialized boxes.
Well, right now I've got some potted plants. In them. One's a conversation piece.
I turned them into a decorative light box.
No, I'm going to do something for iFanboy. I don't know what.
You should make a large diorama.
I used to love that in school. Remember Diorama? That was the best assignment.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and suggest that's not the best use of those products.
Like the signing of the Constitution.
Man, I'll tell you something. My comic boxes are under the bed, and I got to pull them all the way out and slide them out, and I hate that.
Dude. No, I did play with one of them I put together, and they are awesome.
Sat in your living room and played with the box.
I made a fork.
Hey, a lot of kids say, you know, the box is the best part of the toy.
I used to play in the refrigerator box. I made a tank out of it.
Well, you see, that's funny. You said I did a slight. I played in the refrigerator, and that's why I'm fat.
Voicemail.
Our first voicemail's got an observation I can't believe I never thought of.
Hey, guys. This is Kevin from Atlanta, Georgia. Love the show. And I just read JSA All-Stars number one. And when I saw Magog in the training ground scene, I realized he is Cable, essentially. One metal arm, one, like, regular arm, scarred eye, ties to an apocalyptic future, battle soldier guy. Yep, he's Cable.
Well, no shit, he's Cable. He's Cable. Back in when Magog first appeared in Kingdom Come, which was the miniseries from Mark Waid and Alex Ross, he was a commentary on the '90s characters, and so he was visually representative of Cable. And
so really, by bringing him in a non-ironic way is sort of dumb.
Yeah.
But you know what? I realized something reading that this week is that like when he started off, I liked him.
Yeah, you loved
as a
him.
Character.
You loved
not
him.
Magog, but the character who he was.
Soldier.
Based, whatever yeah. his name, David. Yeah. I guess.
He was Roosevelt's
It was neat. He had the halo arm or the sword or whatever, and it was cool. And now like his personality has changed completely. Yeah. He's not that character.
That's happened a lot and since the takeover for Geoff Johns. A lot of personality shifts. But that
it started before he left, I think.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know. Whatever.
I had problems with that issue. It was fun, but I had problems. Yeah. For another show, perhaps.
All right. Our next voicemail is about the big Boy Scout.
Hey, iFanboys. This is Ryan from Santa Cruz, one of the hosts of the podcast Science Sort Of and Haupt on the forum. I have a question mainly for Connor. What are your thoughts on Superman Rebirth and why it failed to have the same impact on the mythos that Secret Origin seems to be having? It can't just be that Mark Waid made Clark a vegetarian, can it? I really liked Rebirth, especially for Lionel Francis Yu's art, and I hate to think that it may be completely marginalized by what is also a compelling story. Thanks.
I gotta say, I'm not sure what he said, but I think he scripted it, and I liked that.
Connor, this one's for you.
Superman Rebirth was okay. I think it suffers because it was right now Superman's going through the Renaissance, or the Renaissance has been going through for the last year with Geoff Johns. So the Secret Origin has more impact because people are actually reading the books, as opposed to when Rebirth came out, nobody was reading Superman books.
Heyo.
No, it's true. That's when it came out when we were in college or right after college. I don't remember, the late '90s, and people weren't really reading Superman books, so it didn't get it didn't stick as a retcon. So that's probably most why it doesn't, people think of Man of Steel because everybody's reading Man of Steel. People think of Secret Origins because people are reading that, but nobody really read Rebirth or really talked about Rebirth. And it was okay. I don't think it's as good as the other two, though.
That was sort of where the failed Superman one of many, I guess.
Yeah, the Joe Casey, Jeff Loeb. Joe Kelly one.
Joe Kelly.
Jeff Loeb, the number two writer of the decade, according to Wizard.
Really?
Just saying, yeah. It was Bendis then
really?
Loeb. Yeah, really, really. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No.
Anyway, yes, I swear to God. Swear to
no, I'm saying no.
Right, yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So if you have a question, you can call and leave us a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. Please call in, tell us your name, where you're from, keep it about 30 seconds, and if you have any clue as to why people like Jeff Loeb. All right.
I don't endorse that. I made
I enjoy the Hulk.
I made ambiguous noises. I went, you said something. There's a big difference there. Oh, and now I get to make the pitch on how to help iFanboy. Oh, that's great. That's good. Hey, kids, it's the holidays. It's your Uncle Josh here. Now, you probably...
You're drunk Uncle Josh.
Come here.
After three beers, he gets a little handsy.
Come here. Save the best seat for you.
Oh. And now we're doing the pitch.
Now we're doing
after the
pitch.
Pedophile joke.
I think that I could... Who said it was a pedophile? Maybe you like Uncle Josh.
Do you like Gladiator movies?
You want to watch WWE with me?
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Oh.
So we're doing jokes from the 70s now.
If you got better jokes, you let us know.
I might.
All right. So it's the holidays, Josh.
Yeah. You're thinking, I'm here. I was going to make a plaintive.
Let's bring it down a notch. Okay.
All right, bringing it down. Listen, kids, lots of people getting lots of gifts. You're going out, you're shopping for people. if you haven't become an iFanboy member, it would be a really good time to do. That would really help us out and mean a lot to us. And you know what? You don't have to. It's not your thing. But you should probably know that if everybody listening right now were to just give like a single $10 donation for a year, we'd be good to go. We'd be totally good to go. But as it is, a lot of people are sort of covering for that slack, and those are members, and they get things for it, and that's totally cool. You don't have to do it. But if you think that this is something that's really important to you and you've been meaning to do it, it's a good New Year's resolution, something like that. So, you know, if you want to look into becoming an iFanboy member, you can do that. You can, for $4 a month or $42 a year, you can get an iFanboy prize pack. That's some buttons. That's a comic book and some stickers. Or you can be the Gold Circle Angel level investor. That's not correct. For $10 a month or $100 a year, and then you get also the iFanboy member shirt thrown in for that. But if that's not your bag and that's not what you want to do, we got a couple of other things that you can do. You can make sure you click on any of the banners at iFanboy.com for the folks who sponsor our show. We really appreciate all of our sponsors, and we hope that you give them a shot. Or, and this is a really, really easy one that you can do, you can go to iFanboy.com/Amazon. Anytime you want to buy anything from Amazon, it doesn't have to be the stuff that's listed there. If you click on the little Powered by Amazon button on that page, it just takes you to Amazon proper. Now, you can even bookmark that and just make it your Amazon bookmark. And then anything you buy, it will help us out a little bit. And you don't have to do anything for that. It's really easy. And if you're like us, you're going to be buying a lot of stuff from Amazon over the next 2 weeks. And then in a week later, you'll remember some other stuff and make one more order.
And hope that it ships in time.
Yeah. There's the iFanboy t-shirts. There's the badass Battle Pug t-shirt that you can pre-order still. Some Power and Responsibility shirts left, and there may even be a Herm shirt or two.
Like I said, there's been an increase in sales, not just in Battle Pug, but Power, Responsibility, and Herm had a lot of people bought them this week. So yeah. Christmas cool. Gifts. So yes. So.
Both of those shirts are $15, and the Battle Pug shirt is how much?
$20,
right. And that's another way you can support it. Wear those to the cons, buy them for somebody who's a fan. And we thank you for all of that. We thank everybody who's done anything to help us out of their way at all.
Yep.
You guys and girls, really, it's so freaking special. I mean, like, you have no idea how appreciative we are.
And it's important to note that being an iFanboy member makes you eligible for the giveaways, as well as, you know, and we might have forgotten this over the year or whatever, but you iFanboy members are the ones that are keeping us making these podcasts, doing the writing on the website. It's all, you know, like, basically you're the ones directly, you know, making this all happen in addition to us doing it, but we wouldn't do it without you, for you, so, yeah. You know, so thank you.
Yeah. We have sponsors. You guys have heard them on the show, but they don't cover it. You guys cover it.
Yeah.
You know, at this time of year, like, we really have to thank you for that. So that's enough of all that stuff, because if you are a member, you know that you are eligible for prizes. You hear us giving away prizes all the time. We have more prizes.
This was the first of the December giveaways, the big prize packs we've got for every show this month. And the first one is a criminal prize pack, which is all four trade paperback volumes of the first sort of series of Criminal.
Am I eligible?
No. The winner of the criminal prize pack is D.B. What? D.B. Cooper.
It can't be the same D.B. Cooper.
There's still a reward. We've got his address, right? Someone's got it. We must. We're sending him the prize.
So congratulations, D.B. Cooper. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go look him up on Wikipedia. So
D.B. Cooper really won the criminal prize pack?
Yes.
The criminal prize pack?
Yeah, I know. It's uncanny. Josh doesn't know what we're talking about.
No idea.
You don't know who D.B. Cooper is?
It sounds familiar, but I keep thinking of the actor from the late 80s.
No, that's D.B. Sweeney. Yeah, he played Shoeless Joe in 8 Men Out.
Let me get the joke out.
Yeah, sorry. I thought the same thing. D.B. Cooper. Look it up.
Robbed up. Never mind.
Anyway, parachute. Keyword parachute.
Disappeared mysteriously, never seen again, or the money. Yep. Some of the money was found.
Keyword parachute. All right, next giveaway.
We also have a giveaway for Star Wars Clone Wars book, art book. And there are four winners and a grand prize winner. So the four regular winners who got the book are Brandon Earnhardt, Parker Holland, Jana Levitina. I'm sorry.
Levitina.
And Keith Williams.
Right.
And the grand prize winner for the autographed book by author Bonnie Burden is Efren Jimenez Jr.
All right.
So those are all of our winners this week.
And I thought it was important to note that those winners were an interesting, eclectic mix of members who have been members for a long time, as well as members who just signed up right before the deadline. Like, a couple of those were like people who signed up last week. So we thank you. And it shows you got to be a member in order to win. So go to iFanboy.
Also, a lot of people have been asking lately, what is the policy on repeat winning?
Yep.
And we conferred, and if you've won a prize pack as a member, you cannot win for 6 months, but then after 6 months you are again eligible to win. So if you are a winner and you're wondering if you can win things again after 6 months, you can.
You're chances have got to be pretty good to win.
They're really good.
Yeah.
So
I feel like there's more stuff all this month, so we've got more coming up.
The other important
thing... Cooper, really. Is the next one going to be won by Jimmy Hoffa?
It's important to note, too, that iFanboy members help support our paying of PricewaterhouseCoopers and all the auditing of the winners of that. So, yeah. So that gets expensive, the accountants.
Is that what the three guys in suits are behind
me? Yes, they are. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, all right, cool. So congratulations to all those winners. Go to ifanboy.com/store, and that's where you can become a member to become eligible. In the meantime, for free, as always, we have other podcasts for you to listen to, as well as this fantastic one. You want to tune into iFanboy Talksplode, Don't Miss, the longest title ever. That's a new podcast that we have a separate feed on. You can go into iTunes, and you can search for iFanboy. It'll pop up there, or you can subscribe to it on Mondays when the post pops up on ifanboy.com. And that focuses on a quick conversation with the creator about a book coming out this week. This Monday, we've got Fred Van Lente talking about X-Men Noir, Mark of Cain, number one. Great conversation. Fred's a great writer, and that X-Men Noir stuff's pretty nifty. And this one, you're going to want to check out because it's a little different than the one previously.
And if you missed it last week, because we didn't know what it was when we did the show last week. Yes. I was not. We talked to Matt Sturgis about JSA All-Stars number one as well.
Yes, that was a good one too. So go back and check those out. In addition, on Friday, this past Friday, we released Josh's fantastic conversation with Ron Praza of DC Comics, CB Cebulski of Marvel Comics, and Stephen Christie of Archaea Studios Press about all you folks who want to make comics, become a writer, become an artist, to get in the door of working and making comics. You got to listen to this podcast. It's a must listen. I just finished listening to it, and Josh did a fantastic job getting invaluable advice and feedback from those three guys.
If you don't know who those names are and you want to break into comics, you should, because
if you don't know, you're not going to break into comics.
At DC and Marvel, those are names you want to know. And then Archaea is an up and comer.
Yeah,
very much so. It was a totally fun conversation. It took a really long time, but I'm glad it came together.
It was great. It was really good. So go to ifanboy.com. You can find it there, or you can look in the feed from this podcast, and it's just under the show. In addition, our sister site over at murmur.com keeps rolling with Lucky Number, episode number 13, where the gang is talking about the National Novel Writing Month. I refuse to say the abbreviation because that's just silly. So they're talking about writing the challenge of writing a novel in 1 month in 30 days, which, Josh, congratulations, you pulled off. So a tip of the hat to you, my friend. So I can't wait to read it if you're going to let me.
No one's ever going to read it.
In addition to novel writing, the gang talked about baking as well as Doctor Who. So it seems to be like an eclectic show.
And also prose books for the holidays. But baking was my favorite segment of that show.
That's a good, topic.
Me and Josh and Jim.
More entertaining than you'd think.
Yeah, yes.
I believe it. So go to murmur.com on this coming Tuesday where you check it out, or go to iTunes, search for Murmur, or subscribe to that podcast as well. So.
You know what's funny about that show was when I was editing it, I had to stop for that segment to go eat because it was making me hungry.
Nice.
You didn't stop and bake. Hey, get over to ifanboy.com if you haven't. If nothing else, it's a damn fine place to be. We put a lot of effort into that as well. There is writing there all the time. There's my Pick of the Week review for The Mighty Number 11. There's the Book of the Month. There's new content that goes up every single day and lots of really fun discussion. Every single issue that comes out in a given week could have a discussion under it, and many, many do. So get there and go to ifanboy.com/about, and you will see who we are, Josh, Connor, Ron, and other people who write for iFanboy, and other ways to hook up with us on the web, social network links and stuff like that. And it's also where you could probably find the video show if you were looking for it. Oh, it's back, baby.
Woo.
It came back last week. Thanks, everyone, for the kind words. I mean, like, we heard all day was nice things, and people were happy to have the show come back. They liked it. Last week's show was about Captain America. This week, the 2009 iFanboy Holiday Comics Gift Guide. We've done it twice before, which shows how long we've been doing this. And these are the things you can be looking for if you're looking for comics as gifts for yourself or someone else or whatever. You can do that. You can find it at ifanboy.com, or you can go to revision3.com/ifanboy, or a whole lot of other ways now. Yep. Roku box, or on TiVo, and just everywhere. YouTube. They're on YouTube.
They're on YouTube.
What's
every day I check my Roku box for the update, and every day I'm
you can do it manually. I'll talk to you after the show. It's fine. Anyway, move it on.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Voicemail 888-FANBOYS 326-2697. Questions, comments, concerns, discussion topics, anything you want for this show, sometimes for the video show, or for our own general amusement.
We got a voicemail from somebody who just said that they wanted to thank us for their prize pack, and he was from Maine, and I was like, that's nice. Because we're friggin' polite people, that's why.
Good job. All right, then. And if
you're not humble,
if you
I spent a lot of time out of the state.
If you're still feeling generous, head over to iTunes and write a review about this show, as well as the iFanboy Don't Miss show, as well as the iFanboy video show, as well as the Murmur podcast. Write a review. It helps people discover the show, as well as, you know, it's good to know, it's good to vent, to let people know what you think. So go to iTunes, write as many reviews as you can, or just tell your friends about iFanboy. Go to the comic book store. Tell anybody to listen. Hey, I listen to this great podcast. You should too. So, all right. Well, I'm tired, and it's only 9 o'clock for me. So
let's do another hour, people. I say, hey, this one. Let's do it. Let's
all right. So before Josh continues with the voices, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
You heard my name, baby. I'm Josh, and it's going to be a good time. Let's start a new show now. Two of us going nowhere, sending someone's harder and gay. Two of us Sunday driving, no arriving, on our way home. We're on our way home. We're going home. Breakdown. You and I longer than the road that stretches right ahead.
What I love is that my neighbors must think I'm crazy because all they hear is cackling with no other noise.
Blisters on my fingers.